So we found out when, we found out who, and now what? What is it these just ones do? We know they do it now. We know they're just. What is it that they do? Well, it's pretty clear. Now the just shall live. They live. They live by faith. They're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? Their soul that was dead. Now, by the way, that's where we all were. As sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. Putting faith in Jesus Christ, we have been lifted to a new spiritual life. The life of God comes into the soul of man. We are born again. Excuse me. And our human life that used to be filled with what? You remember? Dead works. Oh, Brother Chris, I've done a lot of good things when I was in sin. Excuse me, but they were all dead. Amen? Without faith, it's all dead. You know, all these that call themselves philanthropists, you know, that are, and it's amazing that most of the philanthropists of our day, they do it and then they want to advertise it. Look what I did. Without faith, none of it means anything. Amen. It has no spiritual or moral virtue. Our life was filled with dead works. That's the life of sin. But now we have been given a new life. The life of God has come into the soul through faith. The old life is gone. Hallelujah. We become new creatures in Christ. That life that is filled with sin and dominated by selfishness, that life has come to an end and we began a new life in Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. But now this new life, what's it filled with? Is it just an empty life? Do we just get saved and put faith in God and we just go on, you know, about our business? No, we began to live a new life and do new things. This life becomes a life filled with good works. That scares people. Oh, you're preaching works, Brother Chris. If you don't have a life that is evidencing your faith by good works, you're going to be lost in eternity. And this new life, through the power of God, the life of God within us, that is bringing forth good fruit, good works, that glorify God, amen? Is expressing the reality of the faith that we have in our hearts. Expressing that it is a genuine faith. Because that is what a soul alive in Christ does. They do good things. The old life is not like that. Amen? See, there are a lot of religious people today who knowingly and consciously, I'm not going to get into the finer points of people who don't understand what sin is, but they knowingly, consciously, deliberately live in sin, professing to have faith and wondering why. Because they're still dead. Amen? But a soul that is alive, now we're on that. What? He lives. The just shall live. Live by faith. How does the just live? He lives for the glory of God rather than the glory of his own self. Amen? He lives to do those things that please God rather than what pleases himself and pleases those around him. He lives so that others will be able to see the change in his life and the good works, and as Jesus said, glorify our Father which is in heaven. I don't want nobody looking at my life, Brother Chris. Well, get saved and you'll get over that. Amen? Because when you become a child of God, you're following the one who is the light. Anybody read that devotional this week? We follow the one who says, I am the light of the world. You following Jesus, dear one, his light is going to radiate from your life. And he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm in the light. But he's about to go. And then the light of his word, the light of his countenance, the light of his presence goes with us. And we become children of light. And he said, let your light shine that others can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. But this man that's living by faith, he don't just live it on Sunday morning around the Christian brothers. He lives it on Monday on the job where there's heathen. Amen. He don't just come to revival and live by faith. He lives it when he's out in town. He lives it when he's around the lost and the unsaved. He lives it in the worst possible circumstances of this life. He don't just live it when the sunshine is shining and the flowers are blooming. He lives it when the storms are raging and he's down in the valley, because he lives by faith. Amen. Too many people, they live a Sunday religion. They got Sunday faith. Well, dear ones, all you got is Sunday faith. You need to hit the altar. Because you need a faith that lasts Sunday through Saturday. Matter of fact, let me just Sunday to Sunday. That's good enough. That's better. Because there's no time off. But I love the fact that God's word says he lives by faith. I'm glad he didn't say that he just exists. And this bothers me, because there's too many people sitting in too many churches that all they do is exist. I'm not talking about, because when our bodies get old and we slow down and can't do the things physically, some of the most alive people I've ever met could barely do anything physically, but they are alive in their heart to God. They are alive in a relationship with God. They have a living prayer life and a devotional life. They know what it is, and the life of God in them just shines out to others. People know they're alive. I'm not talking about the limitations on our body. I'm talking about those people who make a profession of religion. They sign up and they go through the motions, and then they just become a lump on a log, and they just exist thinking that they're going to coast on into heaven. That's not life. Amen? You don't get saved and quit living. You get saved and start living. Faith. The just shall live by faith. Live by faith. We live a whole new life. We're alive unto God. Amen. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ dwells in these mortal bodies. We live by the power of God. We live in personal communion with God. We live in the Word of God and with the things of God foremost in our hearts and minds. I'm telling you what a man of faith does. A person of faith. We live to help others come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We live with the kingdom first, seeking first the kingdom of God. The man that is living by faith, he already knows. That old thing that I used to call life, the life of sin, it wasn't really living. Amen. That life of sin and selfishness and self-seeking, that's not living. But it was when we came to Jesus in a true and a living faith that we find out what true life is, and we began to live. Amen. So the last one. See, that's we've said a mouthful. When and who and what? How you do this stuff now, brother preacher? How you live this out? How do you, you know, you're talking about stopping the sin business and walking in holiness, following Jesus Christ, walking in the light as he is in the light, all these things. How do you do that? How does that justified person live his life? Well, you know how. The just shall live by faith. Those two words, as I said it earlier, that's what Hebrews 11 is about. by faith. It throws the religious world on its ear today if they would believe and understand this truth. But the only way we can live this life is by faith. We can't live it by feeling. Somebody help me. I'm going to start doing like Brother Maxie. Come on now. We can't live by emotion, Brother Hugh. I can't. I can't because God's word says I can't. You can't. I can't live by emotion. I can't live by feeling. I can't live by church tradition. Amen? I can't live in that way. You imagine what your life and mine would be if we lived by feeling? There'd be some Sunday mornings you'd show up and there wouldn't be a preacher here. And there'd be some others I showed up and there wouldn't be anybody else here. Because you don't wake up every Sunday morning going, "Woohoo! Let's go to church today." No, there's times you wake up on Sunday like I do and you go, I still remember Sister Anna standing up and saying this. Come on, body. We're going to worship God no matter how you feel. Amen? Some of you remember that. Come on, you bag of bones. Of course, my bag of bones is getting more insulated. Come on. I know you don't feel like it, but we're going to worship God. And then it's not, matter of fact, it's that way for some people because they fight physical pain and affliction. But there's a lot of other people that I just don't feel like they like me. Bubba said something about me. I ain't going today. Amen. Everybody's real quiet right now. We can't go by feeling. They didn't treat me good at the job this week. I believe I'm going to stay home from church. Amen? I'm not in left field. I'm like right at the plate. Because this is how too many people function in their Christian life. They try to function by feeling, by emotion. Others by other things. You know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live like this because mama lived like that or because the church taught it. Well, you'll find out after a while it ain't enough because the church taught it. Amen. Churches come and go. Preachers come and go. You know, good parents come and they go also. The only one way to live this life, and that is by faith in God. The only way. How do you live a life for God's glory? By faith. How do you live a life that is holy and pure in the midst of this corruption and wickedness? It's so hard. By faith. Amen. How do you live when sorrow overwhelms your soul and you don't feel like taking another step? How do you keep going on? By faith. How do you live in spiritual victory? Being an overcomer, as the Word of God promises we can be. How do you live like that? People wonder. By faith in God. No other way. You begin to read there in Hebrews 11. I'm just touching on brief few, but you'll find out. How did Abel come and offer the best that he had to God? By faith. Amen. How did Enoch, you know, I marveled Enoch. This is, you know, these are all Old Testament dudes. It's before the New Covenant. How did Enoch live a life that pleased God and then God brought him into his presence? How did Enoch live like that? By faith. You can say it out loud, Sister Tammy. I saw your lips moving. Speak it out. How did Noah Do you ever think about Noah? Get down there and meditate on Noah. You know, just buzzing along his life, trying to hang in there in the midst of this wicked world. And God says, Noah, I want you to build this big boat. A what? It's going to do what? They'd never seen a rain. You know, that was still happening. No rains. There was a firmament. God brought moisture down, but wasn't. God said, do this, build this. It's going to take about 100 years. Noah got up and went at it. And the Bible says right here in Hebrews 11, he built an ark to the saving of his family. How did he do all that? By faith in God. He didn't have this whole book. He didn't have the story of Jesus. I marvel at these Old Testament heroes, because we can get this book, we can read it, we can understand what we need to of it, and we can look back over 2,000 years of church history. We can read about Enoch and Abraham and Noah and Moses. We have all that to go on. You know what they had? Faith in God. That's it. God said it. I ain't picking it up this time. I've said it recently. You know, it's a good old song, but we don't even need to go to the next step. God said it, that settles it. Whether it's good enough for you or not is not the issue. God said it, that settles it. I know the songwriter expressed a good truth, and it's good to be able to say that it settles it for me, but God said it. And for Noah, that settled it. He built an ark by faith. Abraham, that's just the first four. And I won't go, we'd be here a while, and I know dinner's, y'all getting hungry. Maybe harder than Noah. Because, you know, Abraham's nestled in, middle-aged man raising his family there, and in those generations, families stuck together. You know, the great-granddad, granddad, dad, sons, I mean, they're all there. Abraham's comfortable, got a wife, and God says, Abram, let's go. Where are we going, Lord? I'm not telling you. Just follow me. See, it's not always easy when God unsettles you. I remember 20 years ago, and you know, living in Clay City, Kentucky, and Vicky's family there, my sister and brother there, dad just a couple hours away. I mean, you know, we were settled in, had a good job, and God said, let's go. Now, what you didn't know before I got the call to come here was God had already said, it's time to go. I didn't know Texas yet. I just knew it was time to go. Now, Sister Vicky didn't know that yet. But when God called and we came this 800 miles, we pulled out and she knew it was where to go. Amen. We've never regretted it. I didn't do anything like Abram. Before he was Abraham, God said, you just come on, we're going. You follow me. And Abraham obeyed God. How does a man do that? By faith. Amen. Now, I'll stop there because time would go far too long, but I encourage you to keep going. See, you want to learn, let God bring you understanding. You read the whole thing, but then You go back and verse by verse, you let God speak to you. You ask Him to speak to you. You enter into Noah's plight and Abraham's situation. You put yourself in there with Moses, and that chapter becomes alive. Amen. It's profound. And Jesus took it even higher. Well, I know, Brother Chris, spiritually, you know, I got to walk by faith, live by faith. Jesus said everything by faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Paul said, whatever is not of faith. You thought I was going to leave that out, didn't you? How serious it is for a child of God? Well, you know, I show God my faith, you know, 15 minutes every morning, and on Sunday I come, and God said, Paul, through Paul, whatever is not of faith. Amen? It's my faith in God that took me out there to the job and live for God's glory. It's my faith in job that guides me in the decisions and the directions of my life. It's faith in God in every detail of our life. And it's because of that so many, the vast majority of church people and professors of religion do not live that way, that we're in the mess that we are. Now, we know, you know, the big things. Of course, you know, how do you overcome temptation, Brother Chris? By faith. That's pretty obvious. How do you get through those times of life when your heart is broken and sorrow has... How do you... By faith. But let me go further. You knew that. How do you establish the priorities in your life? I'll tell you how you're supposed to be doing it. By faith. How do you set your schedules and determine where you're going to go, where you're not going to go, when you're going to go, and when you're not going to go? How do you do that? Right, Brother Bill? See, we do those things, or too many people do those things without giving God or living by faith one consideration. Well, I'm going to go here on that week, and this month I'm going to do that. Maybe. Amen. Maybe it don't work out so good because you ain't sought God about it. Amen. Oh, Brother Chris, you think that, well, I don't think God has any problem. I think Jesus set an example. There's times we need to rest. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation, but just maybe you need to pray and seek God about it. Amen. See, my flesh was thinking about a month-long sabbatical in Hawaii. But then faith says, well, the pocketbook says, might ought to keep it in the States. And faith says, as pitiful as you are, you got people who may need you to be around. Amen. How do you love those unlovely people in your life? You know, I'm not talking about the one who smiles and nice to you, hugs your neck. I mean those ones who despise the ground you walk on and not afraid to let you know it. How do you love them? How do you treat them right? How do you speak words of kindness? How do you not let it drag you down? By faith. Amen. And let me say, we got a big old clock in the back if you're not familiar with this, and I look at it occasionally. But I will tell you this morning before we wind this up that there is a type of faith, it is a false faith, that we have to guard against in this day. I mean, it is to me one of the most tragic things in our country and religion is that you have preachers who are peddling faith like they're some kind of two-bit salesman. You know, come over here and you can get a faith that'll make you feel good all the time. Come over here and you get a faith that'll make you prosper financially and physically and materially in every way. And probably the most dangerous of all is the faith that is offered, the fake faith that is offered, that only prepares you for heaven. Come here and let us tell you about a faith that'll fix you up for heaven, but won't necessarily affect your life. You know, don't have to change the way you live. Don't have to worry about those sins. Just come and put faith in Christ and you'll be fixed up, good to go. Can't nothing change it. I say it again. A faith that is not lived out is a faith that is not adequate to die with. Amen. And it breaks my heart to know that that is the kind of faith being peddled across most pulpits in our land. That's the kind of faith that most church members in our country possess. A faith that leaves them believing that they're ready for heaven, and yet they go on living in their sins. They go on living selfish lives. They go on making their own choices and their own decisions and setting their own priorities. Their faith affects in little or no way the life that they live. But the only effect it has is that occasionally they'll get up and come to church. I'll say it. I'll keep saying it. Faith that is not worth living for is certainly not a faith that's going to keep you in death. Do you have that faith this morning? We're going to have a song in just a moment. Well, come ahead, praise team. Sister Lane, do you have this kind of faith we've talked about today? I'm not asking what happened when you were 10 at a Bible school or what happened 20 years ago. I'm asking today, do you have a faith that you're living out right now? A faith that you can live by every day when you get up? A faith that guides you, directs you? A faith that touches every area and every detail of your life? If you don't have this kind of faith, I encourage you, dear ones, you need to look to Jesus Christ. You need to experience real saving faith, because real saving faith will be every time a faith worth living for, a faith that you can live out. Can you say today, I'm living my life by faith? As we stand this morning, I remind you, the Bible gives us what is called the good news, the gospel. It tells us of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He offers and provides for us, He offers us this faith. Faith is a gift from God that we have to be willing to accept. Religion cannot offer it. Faith is a gift from God that we can open our hearts to. And it will be a gift that changes us completely. It transforms our life. If you don't have that kind of faith this morning, I invite you to come to seek the Lord, to put your faith in Him, and then to begin to live a life by faith every day. Father, thank you.